540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. A possible break today in the case of the killings of 11 women in 2010 and 2011 on Long Island, New York. WCBS-TV's Carolyn Gussoff says a 59-year-old man has been arrested in what's long been called the Gilgo Beach murders.
A grand jury at this hour, officials tell us, is hearing evidence, and an indictment is expected to be unsealed in court this afternoon. We will then know what the charges are and what led this massive 12-year manhunt to lead here to First Avenue in Massapequa Park.
CBS's 48 Hours correspondent Aaron Moriarty has been covering this case for years.
This has been so difficult for all these families. This has been going on and on and on. Megan Waterman, a young woman who disappeared in July of 2010, had a young daughter who's always wondered about what happened to her mother.
During a punishing heat wave, a desert has become a tourist hotspot.
There's hot, and then there's Death Valley, California. The national park there bills itself as the hottest. It could hit 120 there over the weekend. Tourists are converging to get out in the heat, take some pictures, then get back in the air-conditioned car.
It's very hot. I mean, especially when there's a breeze, you would think that maybe that would give you some slight relief from the heat, but it just really does feel like an air blow dryer is just going back in your face.
Alessia Dempster is visiting from Scotland. A park ranger says during this stretch, it feels like the sun has gone through your skin and is getting into your bones. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Most of the Republican candidates for president are at an evangelical forum in Iowa today. Governor Kim Reynolds will sign a bill at the event that bans abortions after 6 weeks. In most cases, a legal challenge to the law is expected. It's day one of a strike by 160,000 members of SAG-AFTRA, the Union of Film and Television Actors. On the picket line, President Fran Drescher said most of them aren't famous or rich.
99.9% of the people that I'm fighting for right now are working class people. They are the ones that are being squeezed out.
The union's board voted to strike yesterday after talks with the studios collapsed. Some unexpected and good news today for borrowers who've been paying on their student loans for years, says CBS's Natalie Brand.
The Biden administration says more than 800,000 borrowers with $39 billion in student loans will have their debt forgiven, specifically those enrolled in income-driven repayment plans where monthly payment is tied to their income, who have made the accumulated equivalent of 20 or 25 years of monthly payments.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WAUK The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. Stickers declaring a room a safe space have come down from the walls of Arrowhead High School. The school board voted for the new policy this week. It bans religious and political signs as well as those that indicate a room is a safe space. People against the new policy say kids and marginalized groups need safe spaces. The school district says all its facilities should be considered safe. A similar policy passed in the Oak Creek Franklin School District last month. An armored car guard is recovering after being shot several times in a robbery in Milwaukee. It happened outside a North Shore bank early yesterday. Another guard fired at the shooter, who ran and got away. No one else was hurt. We don't know yet if police have arrested anyone. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM, WAUK.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know it. You're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
On the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our co-host of the day, Mr. Luke Mathers, and producer and engineer Kelvin Butenhoff down in Waukesha at WAUK. Glad to have you gentlemen along. Mr. Zommers is out on a well-deserved fishing holiday today. Welcome in, everybody, to hour number two from our brand spanking new studios, our brand new headquarters down on State Street, downtown Madison. Kind of, sort of, Luke.
We got a step in the right direction, that's for sure. We got a toe in the door. We're right next door of where the facility where we will be broadcasting from, the studio. It's right on the other side of that wall. But I really hope that Mr. Zommers has got a really big fish and that he can tell us all about it next week. We're having some fun here on the Todd Alba Show.
Looking forward to it. For those of you who are regular listeners to Civic Media, we appreciate you so very much. Having had a few difficulties from technology and also a particular telecom company that begins with A and ends with T, and not to call them out, but just to give you a hint of where that was coming from. And we've been planning this move downtown to our beautiful new studios on State Street for some time. But, you know, there are what now? What are we up to? The number of stations, total stations across Wisconsin?
18, I believe.
But if you count the AMs and FMs, it's like 23 or 24, right?
I can't count.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the point. It's gotten so.
there's quite a few. Right? It depends.
I got the
map. Yeah, you've got the map. Why are you asking me that?
I don't know, because it's not numbers. Todd needs numbers because Todd has a hard time counting.
It's more than all of my fingers on my hands, so I can't count them on two hands. And yeah, I think you got to get toes or toes other involved. People's hands involved. Like it's a lot of stations right now, and then our engineering team is phenomenal. They're doing some excellent work to make sure all of the integration of these many stations gets put together properly. And yeah, there's an extra little swift boot from the telecom company that made us jump over here to the State Street today, Todd.
So we just said, yeah, we're gonna abandon ship, to use Luke's word from earlier in the day.
Those were the words that were shared to me by the engineering team. So I can't take credit for the terminology of abandon ship. But it was definitely a I think the right call to make, and the execution by the production team, Calvin, Jane Matinere, Anastasia is gonna be joining later out of the Waukesha studios. Everybody doing a tremendous job here at Civic Media, and just the amount of work that goes into a statewide radio network like this really gets displayed on days like today.
And also our engineering folks on the other side of this wall right now, we've got Corey over there, we've got Brian, we've got Chris, somebody leaving anybody else, right?
Drew as well.
Yep. Drew as well. So a lot of fantastic people working very hard to keep us on the air, and we appreciate that. And we appreciate, quite frankly, all of you, the listeners and the viewers on the stream and other places, for sticking with us, because I know it's not always the easiest to listen to when we're having these technical difficulties. But thanks for understanding. We're going to grow this. It's going to get better. It's going to get more consistent. And when we get all this done, You're just going to love it.
Yeah. And it will be, as they refer to the Death Star, the ultimate tool of the universe.
See, I like to be a rebel more than a poor
thing. Me too, which is why I don't like that reference. But Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, made it once. And I was like, oh, quote, is the ultimate weapon in the galaxy. And it, to me, that just does stick.
It does stick.
Especially as Luke Skywalker, you know.
Right, kinda, Luke?
You get the Skywalker references pretty often. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. I understand that. So the point being, now the engineering crew has been taken off some of these outline stations, and they're focused on, like a laser, on the new headquarters here and the new studios. So we're happy to be here, happy to have Luke along. And again, many thanks to Kelvin down in Waukesha for helping us out, and also Jane Matinier for her outstanding work in helping us make all this happen and get to you on the air. Coming up this hour, Luke and I are going to be discussing a couple of things. There is a rumor out in the hallway.
There's a hope.
A new hope.
A new hope.
Anyway.
You're insulting off. John Williams? Yes, let's just stop that one.
By the way, I saw a great repeat of Colbert the other night with John Williams and Steven Spielberg.
I bet that was a good one.
It was fantastic. And John Williams is an absolute musical genius through all that music for Star Wars and Indiana Jones and the like. Anyway, we may be having Brian Kelly and he's doing some engineering stuff, but if we could pull him away and if it's legal, we'll have him in because
we believe it's legal because he's
not promoting a show.
Correct. And that was what it really comes down to. He can share his personal experience as a member of the Screen Actors Guild, which went on strike as of yesterday, end of the day yesterday.
I mean, Matt Damon was on TV talking about this, and Matt Damon could be on there. Brian Kelly could be on.
Same level. Exactly. Same comparison. Apples to apples. If Matt Damon can do it, so can Brian Kelly.
I got
it. Like them apples. But yeah, Brian, hopefully going to be joining us here in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about that strike that the Screen Actors Guild is joining the Writers Guild of America the first time in like 60 years, 60 years or something like that.
Ronald Reagan was president, not of the United States, of the Screen Actors Guild when this happened last.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how long it's been. So we're going to come back and discuss that, the very serious issues of why the Screen Actors Guild is striking. We've got a cut from President Fran Drescher, the nanny, who is now doing a great job as the president of the Screen Actors Guild. Did you know
that? Madam President, I did not know that.
Yeah, she's doing a great job. And we're also going to discuss third parties, as well as President Biden being over in Lithuania. So we're going to discuss all that, take your calls as well. Don't go anywhere now. We welcome you back to the show, hour number two, the Tyler Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
This Thursday begins the four-day 120th Harley-Davidson Festival in Milwaukee, featuring live performances by big-name artists. Expect a weekend filled with fun and activities for enthusiasts of all ages. Harley-Davidson.com for more info. On Friday, check out the sounds of summer at the Yard in Bayshore. Head to the Green Gathering Space in the heart of Bayshore and jam out to the sounds of summer live music series. Local bands and performers take the mic every Friday night from 6 till 9. Check out Bastille Days this Saturday. Visit Paris via Cathedral Square Park. Celebrate one of the country's biggest French-themed gatherings. Learn more at easttown.com/Bastille-Days. And on Sunday, the Milwaukee Makers Market is a perfect seasonal stop for lovers of arts and crafts. The market meets from 10 to 4 every third Sunday of the month.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kiner, at info@civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Edition the 15th of July. Happy to have you along, Mr. Kelvin Budenhoff, down there in Waukesha on the board. Kelvin, what kind of fantastic music was that you dialed up?
That was "There Is Power in a Union" by Billy Bragg.
That's fantastic. Look at
there we go,
right on top of it. That's great. Appreciate you, Kelvin. Thanks for being here. Thanks to all of you for listening as well. There is power in a union, and that is why. Joined, by the way, this hour, we appreciate him so very much. Luke Mathers as well being here, and Luke. That is something that's very topical because we talked about this. I know you guys, you and Will, have talked about this on Town Call over this last week, what's happening down in Waukesha, where a teacher was fired this week by the Waukesha School Board simply for, in her own time, giving a tweet about this opposition to the Rainbow Song down there in Waukesha. That's a whole other bottle of wine, as they say. But now we've got this situation out in Hollywood and across America with the Screen Actors Guild, the actors themselves now on strike, joining the Writers Guild as well. Hollywood's pretty much shut down, and the issues that surround this are pretty darn serious.
Yeah, I think it's not just Hollywood. It's not just the teacher incident in Waukesha. It is as a whole. We're seeing right now as the outcome of getting back and to quote unquote normal. Todd, for lack of a better term, whatever that truly means can be discussed, but the getting restarted after the COVID-19 pandemic put everything on hold. There's been a resurgence of the conversation of what is the value of labor. And we're seeing it, the staff for Lining Kugels in Chippewa Falls is currently on strike. You've been seeing strikes at John Deere, at General Mills, like there are Frito-Lay, like all of these companies, nurses looking for the ability to collective bargain at the UW. The difference that we're seeing between the rising costs that we're all facing, because inflation was real. It's down. It was its lowest point this last month, over the last, I believe, two and a half years now. But it's still real. Higher prices, higher costs is what we're all facing. But at the same time, we're seeing those headlines. We see that corporations are having record-breaking years for profits. And there's a lot of question to then the formula that goes into that. How are we all getting squeezed as workers for having to just eat these higher costs while corporations and these companies are seeing record profits? And so I think the what's going on in Hollywood is more or less a microcosm of what's going on in all facets of society right now. But the resurgence of organized labor and the resurgence of having unions represent and fight for their members to make sure that they're getting a fair slice of the pie, because Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, one of the largest corporations in the country, if not the world. And they have many different assets, but the what they do in Hollywood and the content that they put out, that they rely on writers and actors for, Bob Iger is telling these writers who are, I believe, for more than 2 months now striking, that their demands are unrealistic.
Right.
while at the same time, there's undisclosed executives saying that their goal of the holdouts during this writer's strike is to make the writers that are striking homeless.
Yeah,
they want to, the strike to go on for so long that these writers have to lose their homes to then come back to the negotiation table weaker.
Yeah, it looks not exaggerated. That
is a literal quote from these conversations. It's, and Bob Iger saying that it's unrealistic. While he makes the average, I saw the average writer salary for a writer, TV writer in Hollywood, is roughly $69,000-$70,000 a year. Mm. Bob Iger makes that in a day. He makes $76,000 in a day.
And for folks that are listening across Wisconsin, you think, well, geez, I'm making $69,000-$70,000. I'm going to be one of the middle to upper middle class and not top people in my community. Let me tell you, I've never lived out there. I have friends that live in L.A. $69,000 in L.A. What would you? I mean, I don't have the numbers in front
of me. Yeah, if you adjust it to the cost of living, it's
maybe 30.
I would think that it's in the ballpark of 30 to 40.
Yeah. So,
and that's living probably with roommates. It is not unreasonable from my understanding of the conversations, what these writers are asking for. We see these Disney, Netflix, all of these streaming services are bringing in record revenues, but they're cutting shows, cutting costs anywhere that they can so that there's greater pay for CEOs and the upper management. But at the same time, they're saying, oh, well, we couldn't possibly afford to pay you a 2% raise or like it is. Well, it's just the way that we view government in America. The government receives consent to govern from the governed. I don't understand how we can't take a similar approach to labor and how that these corporations that are using the work from these writers and these actors and everybody that gets involved in the process of creating what sells. Why is it only the individuals at the top that are making out like bandits right now and everybody else has to pinch pennies to make it by?
If you'd like to join the call, we'd love to hear from you on this topic on the SAG strike or any other union issue. Are unions still viable in today's world? Are they going to exist? Are they going to be snuffed out like they were in the public unions here in Wisconsin with Act 10 and Scott Walker? What are your thoughts on this? 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. We'll make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. Kevin's down in Waukesha. He'll take your call off the air. Let us know when you're there. We'll be happy to bring you on with Luke and myself. You can also download the Civic Media app. Simply go to your app store and type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It'll come up, take you less than a minute. It is free. That's what we call a deal. And we'll put you on the air via the app as well. 844-967-2789, talking about the SAG writers' strike and unions in general. Go to our friend out in the SAC, Mark from the SAC. Thanks for being here on the show. What say you?
Well, unions are extremely valuable. I used to be a union steward for the last half of my career. And it's just ridiculous here that about a week or two, when Scott Walker got elected, about a week or two before Scott, Kathy Stepp called all the union stewards together in our DNR building and said, Scott Walker is looking forward to working with the unions, yada, yada, yada. Then, a week later, he dropped the bomb. I mean, and it virtually became impossible for unions to exist, public employee unions to exist in Wisconsin because you had to recertify every year, that the state wouldn't collect the dues anymore like it used to do, which is kind of a nothing thing. It wasn't very expensive for them to do that at all. It was just that a plot by Scott Walker, to further the aims of himself and the Republican Party to disempower unions. And that the only strength we have is when we have a collective voice, because that when the unions were in existence, that I could take a certain amount of time to represent employees, when they ran into problems, they'd be represented if they're facing discipline. But then after that happened, I was taking my own personal leave time so I could go and represent them, where the people on the other side of the table were on state time. I mean, that it is just, it's unacceptable then, unacceptable today. But unfortunately, with Republicans large and in charge, that claiming that the unions are so all powerful and all that, in the state of Wisconsin, they certainly were not all powerful. We couldn't go on strike. That collective bargaining was more or less was collective begging on behalf of the employees. But in fact, many cases that the unions were working with the state office employee relations and working with the state to suggest training methodologies, you know, to provide for training to make workers, you know, better workers, make them better employees. That it's disgusting, and that Scott Walker was doing that, kind of at the behest of the Republican Party, who didn't like unions because unions, you know, generally contribute to Democrats. And one of the sources of Democratic funding was the unions.
Mark, let me ask you about that, because here's my question to you. I'm interested in your perspective, because as someone who's a former Republican, was a Republican until 2011, I will say this. I think that there was a time at the highlight of particularly the teachers union in this state where I'll say I think they got out over their skis a little bit, because there was a segment of teachers in the state that thought that the unions had just gotten out there and too powerful. And the example was they didn't really have an option to pay their union dues. They didn't have any control really over where those dues went. And a lot of those dues were being put into political campaigns instead of actually representing teachers locally. And I think that Walker, Republicans, built on and divided the union on those types of issues. Agree or disagree?
I disagree with that, because only a fraction of employee dues went to political campaigns. As a matter of fact, you could opt out of, you know, money going to political campaigns. You could actually opt out, you know, of any your dues going to the political campaigns. As I remember it, that it just most of the money was, you know, for services the union offered. I mean, I think that's just false, because that and people who were not paying dues, we had to represent them anyway. I mean, that because they were in the bargaining unit. I mean, that which was kind of, you know, that which you had to do. I mean, it was maybe a little bit galling, but, you know, you just had to do it because everybody was entitled to representation. I mean, I was, you know, represented somebody who was not in the union at one point in time, who was afraid his boss was ordering him to do something illegal, and that and I can relate this without you know naming any names or anything like this, but the boss was so mad that he was a man that was follically challenged, and his head was red all the way where his hair.
Careful now, Mark. I'm follically challenged in the head as well.
I'm getting out of there myself, but I mean, I could tell how angry he was, because he was just really red in the face, because he did not want his employee represented. That have an ally there, you know, rather than him just being able to come down with both feet on this guy. And this guy was, you know, that just worried the boss is telling him to do something he shouldn't be doing.
Mark, I really appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Mark. Mark on the sack, really appreciate your call. Getting ready to go to break here. Luke will pick it up on the other side. I just wanted to bring that point up, because I think there was, whether it was real or perceived, there was a feeling at one time in the state that unions had gotten too powerful. And I think, I mean, Walker himself said he was there to divide and conquer. I think he used that to leverage public opinion. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a wedge issue that Walker used. And I think you could tell that from some of the way that the union membership has kind of diverged a little bit more politically now. There are changes. Like, there were a lot of union supporters of Donald Trump. Yep. in 2016. Yep. And so there are some definite wedge issues that were used like that. I think it's also important to point out, though, that depending on the union, you can have different support for different politics that not everybody necessarily agrees with. And I think if you look at the police and fire chief or yep. police fire unions, they've supported overwhelmingly Republican candidates. And so it depends on which union you're talking about. The union support politically can split both ways, to Republican or Democratic.
Love to have your calls. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Join Luke and I and Kelvin talking a little about unions. We'll have a cut from Fran Drescher, the president of the Screen Actors Guild, on the other side. Your calls, your texts. Don't go anywhere. This is the Tattle Ball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief.
It's a shocker. I mean, it's a real eye-opener.
Reaction by a neighbor to the news that a 59-year-old man, an architect, has been arrested and accused of killing some of the as many as 11 people who were found dead on New York's Long Island in 2010 and 2011. WCBS-TV reporter Carolyn Gussoff.
For more than a dozen years, the hunt for a serial killer or killers has been an unsolved obsession for law enforcement.
More than 111 million Americans are under extreme heat alerts today. Andy Shakey mows lawns for a living in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Guys, bring plenty of beverages, you know, drink of water maybe every half an hour, take a break in the car. I put a towel over my head just to block out the sunlight.
Good news for student loan borrowers today from the Biden administration, says CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
It will forgive $39 billion in federal student loans for more than 800,000 borrowers.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
For WAUK The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Hundreds of thousands of people are converging on Southeast Wisconsin for Bastille Days and Harley-Davidson's 120th anniversary this weekend. Stickers declaring a room a safe space have come down from the walls at Arrowhead High School. The school board voted for the new policy this week. It bans religious and political signs as well as those that indicate a room is a safe space. People against the new policy say kids and marginalized groups need safe spaces. The school district says all its facilities should be considered safe. Waukesha County deputies are reminding pedestrians not to just walk into traffic. The Sheriff's Department says it's getting more complaints about pedestrians and bicyclists not stopping to look both ways at trail crossings on county highways. While it's true pedestrians have the right of way, deputies say they need to stop and yield first. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Iron Plow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540A. The Shaw 101 FM and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Our website,
Network. Appreciate you being along on a Friday, July 14th, with Mathers along with us as a co-host this fine day. And down in Waukesha, the Shaw, W-A-U-K, we've got Calvin Putenhaven.
Calvin, he's making up versions of your last name now.
Shaw. Putin, you want to know where it came from? It was from my...
Hoff comes from outdoor square in German.
No. Why would call Calvin Putenhaven? Because I used to have a TV show back in college, Sunday Night, it was called, and we had a live band.
Was it on Thursdays?
No, it was on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And our band leader, His name was Vandenhoven.
Vandenhoven?
Yeah. Yeah, Tony Vandenhoven or something like that. Vandenhoven, maybe it was Jim or John or Tony. I'm not sure. But it was
definitely on Sunday nights.
But yes, it was Vandenhoven, and so then I started saying Bootenhoven instead of Bootenhoff.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Hoff comes, I believe, from outdoor space.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the
German.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm almost positive. It's been a little while since I've used my German, but yeah.
You actually speak German?
Yeah. Fluent through college because I needed it for one of my degrees.
Really?
Yeah. I had to learn another language, and I took German throughout high school, and it was more of an interest than a practicality use thing, but it comes in handy when, you know, diagnosing Calvin's last name. I think maybe.
See, the only thing, I had a very short German class. She was only about 5'4", and I had a short German class, and the only thing I can remember is "Ich habe einen Esel," which is "I have a donkey."
There you go.
That's all I remember for sure. And my ancestors came from the Rhineland.
There you go. That's a great spot. That's where I went studying abroad. So I got to spend about a month there.
I only studied dudes, but anyway. Moving on to the rest of the show. We're glad you're along with us. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Love to have you along with Luke and myself. Talking about this SAG strike, the Screen Actors Guild striking. And here are kind of the key components, and Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, you brought this up, number one, the pay, because, and people think, well, what more does Matt Damon need more money for? And, you know, it's not the Matt Damons of the world. It's people like our colleague here, Brian Kelly, who is an actor, but to support his family and his life, he also happens to have a job at Civic Media. And there's a lot of actors out there that are not your big name lead actors who aren't getting millions of dollars, and they're just getting by. And Brian happens to be based here in the Midwest, but there are people in New York and Miami and Los Angeles.
All over the place, yeah.
That need more pay just to survive. Meanwhile, you got guys like Bob Iger at Disney making hundreds of millions.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to the fact of who gets what share of the profits surrounding a business. And that's really what these unions are trying to make sure, that their members are getting a fair shake and fair representation in these negotiations with the management of these giant studios, these giant streaming platforms. Yeah, maybe the industries that get involved with Hollywood get the thought that it's a little bit higher. It's the lifestyles of the rich and famous for everybody that's involved. But really, again, it goes the median or salary for an average TV writer in Hollywood, roughly around $70K a year. And Bob Iger makes more than that in a day.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that it's like the valuation of all of the pieces involved into making the excellent story. We're in like a golden age of television right now too. And there's all this content that is so excellent. You can't, the Emmy nominations just came out. You've got Succession, you've got The Bear, you've got all these terrific shows that are being watched and being loved. And it's not just the management of those corporations that are responsible for that content. It is the writers, it is the actors, it is the individuals behind the cameras and the producer, everything that goes into it, and all of those people involved deserve to have a share of the profits that come from that.
But you just hit another issue, Luke, which is back in the old days when Tiny was a boy, you would have network linear television and there would be a 30 episode run per season of The Nanny starring Fran Drescher. And then eventually it would go into syndication and you'd find it on Nick at Night or TBS or WGN as syndicated shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would go to DVD and the actor and the writers would each take a cut from all those residuals. Now these shows you just named on Netflix and on Disney Plus and on Paramount Plus, all these streaming services, they might have, you know, anywhere from an 8 to 10 run show run, if they're lucky, maybe 2 or 3 seasons, and then they're done.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going on DVD or anywhere else. And the actors, the writers receive nothing from that after that point on. Meanwhile, every time it's streamed or whatever or not, I mean, the company's still making money off of it. So part of this is addressing the new way of broadcasting or
the way that we get our content, the way that we receive our content has changed. And so, yeah, I think it is, it's disingenuous at best to say that the sides representing the unions and the labor in these negotiations are being unrealistic, when the expectations and the tactics that the management is taking, saying we're going to hold out, we're going to continue to stall these negotiations until these workers that are striking right now are feeling the pain to the point where they lose their homes. They want them to be homeless.
And the final part of this puzzle, there's lots of parts, but I think the final big piece that people are talking about is that when it comes to these actors and to these writers, I've just lost my train of thought. I started going down
That's okay.
This tangent here. So yeah, oh, that is, thank you. Is the AI part of this, right? Because again, we think, and I just heard Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes it was a rerun or a re-edited version on AI this week. He ended it by, I'm paraphrasing, he said, now something we've never said during a 60 Minutes broadcast, the preceding was created totally by human content, or something along those lines. Anyway, the point that whether you're a writer, that he gave the example that you can simply say to AI, give me a 28 or 24 minute sitcom starring this type of person and that type of person with that storyline, and in seconds that AI writes a show. Now, whether how good it is right now, we don't know. Same with the actors. I mean, a lot of people saw Star Wars after Carrie Fisher died in the last Star Wars movie, and they kind of recreated her from other things she had done. The computer put together a brand new scene starring, quote unquote, her, but it was completely character generated. That technology is getting better. So let's say that you have actors, real human actors, do a show. They take all your image, your voice, your movement, they put that in a computer, and they can regenerate you into countless seasons. And you're not getting paid.
Yeah, and if it's part outside of your contract, then you're not getting any of the money for that. Yeah, and so there's absolutely very tough discussions and talking about this aspect of how this is all the technology is going to get weaved in to who gets a share of the earnings, because people are still going, and I've got friends now that are talking. They're like, I don't know if I want to go in the middle of this writers and now Screen Actors Guild strike to go sign up for a new platform to go watch this show, because I don't want to support those platforms while they are actively refusing to negotiate at this point with the sides of labor representing these individuals that just want a equal share of the content that they are helping create.
Kelvin's dialed up. We have a cut here of the president of the Screen Actors Guild. This is Fran Drescher. I'm not sure how much of it we're going to take, Kelvin. We'll go ahead and we'll start it. This was yesterday after the Screen Actors Guild had announced that they're going to strike, join the writers. This is what President Fran Drescher had to say. And we're working on it right now. I think Kelvin's still trying to pull it up here.
I cannot believe it.
There we go.
Quite frankly, how far apart we are on so many things. How they plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right when giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. It is disgusting. Shame on them. They stand on the wrong side of history at this very moment. We stand in solidarity, in unprecedented unity. Our union and our sister unions and the unions around the world are standing by us, as well as other labor unions. Because at some point, the jig is up. You cannot keep being dwindled and marginalized and disrespected and dishonored. The entire business model has been changed by streaming, digital, AI. This is a moment of history that is a moment of truth. If we don't stand tall right now, we are all going to be in trouble. We are all going to be in jeopardy of being replaced by machines and big business, who cares more about Wall Street than you and your family. Most of Americans don't have more than $500 in an emergency.
There you go. I mean, I was impressed by that. That was not run off a teleprompter. That was off the cuff. That was Fran Drescher just being Fran Drescher, not the nanny, not a character, but herself. I was extraordinarily impressed.
Yeah, I think those remarks echo what I said way better than I think I could. So I was just saying that right there is the argument. And Todd, I don't know why we didn't start with that.
What do you think? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'll make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY, or hit us up on the app as well. That is simply go to your app store, type in Civic Media, download it if you don't have it, and you can text or call in. Let's go to the phones quickly. We have CJ in Stoughton. CJ, thanks for holding. What say you, sir? Hello, CJ, are you there? Is CJ there? CJ is not here.
Going one. Oh. Going to, oh!
Oh, CJ, hello. Good. You made it through. We appreciate you holding, sir. We can hear you now.
Thank you very much for taking my call. A couple of quick things. Scott Walker and the Act 10 issue seem to be about also whether a member could get representation, whether they paid dues or not. One other thing, the Actors Guild, you touched on it, the A1 as an issue. Boy, isn't that strange how that's going to affect everybody from here on forward? And the last thing I'd like to ask you, Todd, is about the teacher that was fired. I have not been told clearly, was it that they went to social media and complained? Did they break a contract rule? Or was it simply a song that they chose to play? I'm so curious to know the facts about this case, because I guess really for me to make an informed decision, I'm curious. So anyway, sure. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Appreciate listening to WMDX here in Madison. CJ, thanks for holding. I'll take the last one first. As I understand it, Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, the teacher, the school board, the Waukesha school board voted 9-0 to fire the teacher at Waukesha. I believe the actual reason that they gave was that they fired her for violating a district policy of commenting publicly on social media about something that happened at school. And the question is that covered what she did on her own time by the First Amendment, which is probably why we're going to have court cases moving forward on this.
That's my understanding. It was a recommendation of the district superintendent to fire Melissa Temple, and the board approved that decision earlier this week.
And I think the important point, we had a parent from, I believe his name is Dave from Waukesha, that called yesterday, has kids there, and the superintendent at Waukesha told him, and he had this on audio tape and or digital, played it for the Washington Post, and I believe they used it, that the district administrator said that their goal was to, quote, get rid of all the rainbow stuff, unquote. And so to CJ's point, yes, technically the reason the Waukesha School Board gave for the reason to fire her was a violation of district policy, which is still legally up for grabs. But the district administrator is allegedly on tape saying he wants to get rid of the rainbow stuff.
Yeah, and so that's what's going on there. And I forgot what CJ's first
question. The other part was the AI or the A1. It's AI, CJ, we'll, but that's okay. AI, and yes, you're right. AI is affecting everybody. It might not be long until I'm gone. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Luke will be here. Calvin, this is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Hey.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on a Friday, June 14th, live show today. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mather, is here co-hosting Mr. Kelvin Butenhoff on the board down in Waukesha. Finally got it right. Kelvin, a busy man. We are 10 minutes away from 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from Matt Flynn Direct. You're not going to want to miss it. Of course, Kelvin joins Matt every afternoon from 3 until 4. And here's the great thing. Kelvin knows this. Here's the great thing about Matt. Number one, he's direct. Number two, he's a super smart dude because he's an attorney, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I try to listen each and every time that I can. You're always going to learn something. And also, you just kind of laugh a little bit because Matt, he doesn't take it too seriously. He tells a joke here and there. Great callers as well as Matt Flynn Direct 3 until 4. At 4 o'clock then, Dom and Crew members, never personal, only politics. It is the Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6. At 6, the Maggie Dawn Show, another great attorney, another great person, another great show. And then at 8 o'clock, Rick Smith Across America. And at 10, our friend Robert Pilot with an, not abbreviated, but a delayed, tape delayed edition of Native Roots Radio at 10 o'clock. So another great lineup across Civic Media. Talking these last few minutes today about the unions and about the Screen Actors Guild strike, and also now the Screen Actors Guild joining the Screen Writers Guild.
Writers Guild. WGA, Writers Guild of America.
I got too many screens.
Yeah, that's okay. Writers.
That's all right. I'm taking your phone calls as well, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to, I believe, Mike in Milwaukee. Mike, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. What say you?
Hi, happy Friday, guys. Talking about the strike, I just want to remind everybody that when a union goes on strike, it's at high risk. You're not making money when you're on strike. If the union gets broken up, you're out of a job. It's because your working conditions have gotten to that point where you feel you've got no other option, where your back's in the corner. So yeah. I just want to reiterate that point. People don't strike for fun. They strike because they've got no choice. So thank you. Bye.
It's a wonderful point, Mike. Really, really appreciate it. And Luke, that it's the thing of last resort. They've been negotiating for weeks, if not months, on this.
Well, in my understanding, I believe it's 2 months since the Writers Guild went on strike, but there was a collective bargaining time back right as the pandemic began that the union and a lot of these unions involved in writing and television and movies and actors. They took a deal then that wasn't necessarily what they wanted to take, but they knew 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that it was unlikely for them to be able to come to an agreement. So they averted a strike, and we've seen only since then that streaming has taken off more. And so it got to the point where this strike, as Mike pointed out, it's they felt like it was necessary,
right,
to do, to be able to preserve their livelihoods, because that's what it comes down to, is if you've got these writers that are being, as you noted, there's fewer episodes, there's less writing, there's less guarantee that they will have the longevity of these shows. It's not a 24 episode season anymore when you're writing for television. It could be as little as 6 episodes. Yeah. And so they want a piece of the share. We see that Disney is paying all of these corporations, not just Disney, it's just Bob Iger's comments put him more in front of my knowledge. I was reading
his comments. One of the few CEOs that went on MSNBC. Odd that he went on an NBC Universal show instead of an ABC Disney show.
Didn't want to upset his own people, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know.
He's also signaled that the cable streaming channels besides ESPN may no longer be a future for Disney's portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's even thinking about selling those off, it sounds like, or Disney as a whole. Mm-hmm. But it's as Fran Dresser pointed out, they're claiming poverty while paying their CEOs these record amounts because the profits are so high, without actually coming to these conversations with the unions in good faith.
Couple more minutes for you to chime in. We had one of my favorite callers, Jack from Merrimack, was on the line, and he started hearing us talk, and he's like, I'm not sticking around for this. I'm out of here. Jack, if you're listening, give us a call. Always like to hear from Jack from Merrimack. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you. We are here in the downtown, brand new, spanking new world headquarters of Civic Media, high above State Street here in downtown Madison. I'm looking out because it's all glass here, and I'm looking out amongst the office and the people, and I, honest to God, I don't know half the people here.
you've been over at the University Avenue station a little bit too long. You haven't got to see all the growth.
Confirm it. I've just been like an old man in a hermit.
No,
and now I had to get up and put pants on today.
There's a lot of exciting things and going on here across the state of Wisconsin, here in Madison, but around the state with our many stations around Wisconsin. We're having a lot of fun. We're doing a lot of growth, and we're just thrilled to be able to have the excellent team put together again. Hats off to the production crew, the news team, all of the on-air individuals that scrambled today to make it work, because AT&T,
not so much
for us.
Here's what is great. I'm going to tell you right now what is great. Jack from Merrimack has called back. Jack, this is a great way to end the show. We got about a minute and a half. It's all yours, my friend. Jack from Merrimack, what say you?
Well, I guess the service dropped my call, and I apologize.
Do you have AT&T, Jack? Do you have AT&T?
I wouldn't touch AT&T with a 10-foot phone pole. Anyway,
go ahead.
My comment really applied to the previous discussion and CJ's question, and that is this. And for me, as a teacher with over 40 years of experience teaching, I'm retired now, of course, if the school board can legally enforce a section of the contract that says that they can fire somebody for criticizing the school district, and that's essentially what it was supposedly for.
Correct.
There is no such thing. There is on their own time, on their own Twitter feed. There is no such thing as free speech for teachers, period.
Yeah.
That's just outrageous. And that's the real reason. I think there may be other reasons that they want to remove this particular teacher from the district, but they're trying to give their own reason.
Totally agree, Jack. Thank you so much. I appreciate you holding on and coming back on. Have a great weekend, Jack, up there in Merrimack. Have a great time. Thanks for calling in. Luke Mathers, thank you so much for being here today, co-hosting, and also to our wonderful colleague and friend down there, Kelvin Butenhoff, who has been a spectacular engineer. He's got another hour yet. He's sitting there with our friend Matt Flynn, direct. Do not miss it. It is up next here in Civic Media. Any big plans this weekend, Luke?
A lot of big plans. Too many to talk about.
Thank you, Luke. In all seriousness, thank you. Always great to have you here. Also, Kira Sabin, appreciate having her. And, of course, you for listening and for viewing us. We appreciate you most of all. Have a great weekend in Wisconsin. We'll see you for the fresh show on Monday. Until then, this is Todd Allball, Civic Media. Keep banging your drum.
Keep banging on your drum.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.